presentation is by Sarah Barrett, and she's evaluating the rain fastness of the selected insecticides in cotton.
Thanks for the intro, Whitney. I'm blessed to be here, so thanks everyone for attending this talk. So I just finished my first summer of research at Delta Research and Extension Center in Stoneville. And so this past summer I was looking at the rain fastness of selected insecticides in cotton. So today I'll talk about a little bit of what we learned. And for those that are unfamiliar with the term, rain fastness is just a way of describing how well a pesticide is absorbed by the plant so that it'll still be effective after a rainfall event. So just a little bit of background. There isn't much in the literature regarding rain fastness of insecticides, and this is surprising just considering during the growing season we do experience a lot of pest pressure, and we also have a lot of unpredictable rainfall such as pop-up showers, and a lot of times growers will find themselves in a situation where they're at threshold and they need to spray, but rainfall is also imminent and they don't really know what to do. Additionally, we have these BT genes where we're seeing resistance issues pop up, and so it's likely that these foliar applied insecticides will have more importance in seasons to come. And so this is a rainfall chart showing rainfall data from one of our weather stations in Stoneville, Mississippi. And this chart is really just to show you that we may have more than 2 or even more than 3 inches of rainfall in a single rainfall event. And this is data that I pulled from our 2018 cotton crop insect loss from Mississippi. And I got data for two of the pests that I'll be looking at throughout my research, the bollworm and the tarnished plant bug. And so you can see for the bollworm, we have an average of 1.7 insecticide applications made per acre. And then for the tarnished plant bug, 4.93 insecticide applications made per acre. And I wanted to just put a number to how much this is costing growers. So in 2018 in the Mississippi Delta, growers were spending an average of $116.31 per acre on just foliar applied insecticides. So throughout my research, I'm going to be looking at the rain fastness of insecticides targeting four pests of cotton. So the bollworm, the fall armyworm, the tarnished plant bug, and thrips. Today, however, I'm just going to be focusing on those insecticides targeting tarnished plant bugs, or Lygus linearis. So the tarnished plant bug is a very important pest of cotton, particularly important during the reproductive part of cotton. It feeds on those reproductive structures such as small squares and bolls, and if the damage is severe enough, it can cause those structures to fall off, which causes a reduction in yield. And so I'll start with sulfoxaflor, one of the insecticides I looked at this summer. So for each of these insecticides, I wanted to look at the labels and see what they had listed as far as rain fastness, residual, runoff. And this product's label actually had nothing listed as far as rain fastness, which is a part of what I think will make this study so interesting, is evaluating the rain fastness of these products that are otherwise unknown. And then Novaluron, this product's label actually stated that runoff could be reduced by avoiding applications when rainfall is expected within 48 hours, but of course that's a very broad statement. And then same case with thymethoxam that we looked at this summer. It also said that runoff could be reduced by avoiding applications if rainfall is expected within 2 days. So that brings me to my objective, which was to determine the impact of wash-off on the efficacy of these selected insecticides against tarnished plant bugs. So for my materials and methods, I actually had three portions, two lab portions and one field portion. So I'll start with my field portion. So for my field portion, I had plots that were set up in a randomized complete block. We had four replications for each trial. And our strips were sprayed with insecticide at the same time, and then rainfall was simulated at the designated timings, so 0, 15, 30, 60, 120, and 240 minutes, which would be 2 and 4 hours. And so we simulated rainfall. You can see the sprinkler here. It was just a normal sprinkler that you could buy at Lowe's and use in your yard. So the sprinkler water came out of the top of the sprinkler, and it was distributed evenly with these rotating blades. And the sprinklers were then set up on a tripod in order to simulate rainfall as closely as we could. And then we went back later at anywhere between three to four days, and then again at 6 to 8 days. We did drops with a black drop cloth in each plot and recorded adults and nymphs. This is what the other end of that sprinkler setup looked like. We had a Mudmaster trailer with a motor and a pump on it. So we had a four-way splitter that each that had a water hose that ran down each of our four strips. And so we could turn them on and off whenever we needed to switch up our timings. And then looking at my lab portion, so we actually had a lab portion where we ran bioassays with live tarnished plant bugs. We pulled terminals off of cotton plants. We sprayed them with insecticide and then simulated rainfall. These bioassays weren't very successful because the tarnished plant bugs proved to be pretty difficult to manipulate even in a controlled lab setting. And then we also saw a lot of high mortality in places that it shouldn't have been. So this is just I'll just go over our chemical analyses that we performed, which is our other lab portion. So each time we did a field experiment, we collected leaves from each plot, and we stored them in Ziploc bags and put them in the freezer until we were able to get them over to the Mississippi State Chem Lab to analyze these samples. So the samples were broken down and then centrifuged and went through a series of separations. And then they were run through an Agilent Technology 6460 triple quad LC mass spectrometer. And throughout this process, they ran through four different sets of filters. And at the end, the concentration of the actual insecticide that was left on these plants was recorded. So my field data was analyzed using SAS, PROC-LEMIX, and PROC-MEANS procedure. And then the chemical analysis data was analyzed using an analysis of variance. So just going right into my data from my field studies, starting with transform. So we can see on the x-axis we have time in minutes from application to rainfall, and then on the y-axis we have percent control. So transform at 4 days after treatment, we can see that anything less than 60 minutes reduced our control. And our trend line does support that. The p-values above my bars here just show how different each of these treatments were from our untreated control. And then moving into 8 days after treatment for transform, we no longer see a relationship here, but our overall control relative to our untreated has definitely improved. And there is a lot of variability in this data. It's likely that at this point it doesn't have very much to do with the rainfall events. And now looking at Centric at 3 days after treatment. So we can see that our overall control was pretty poor. The line does trend up, but it's not significant. And then at 6 days after treatment, we do see a significant relationship here, and everything is different from our zero control and our untreated control. But this just kind of reiterates again that any rainfall event that happens 60 minutes after application or less definitely greatly reduces our efficacy. And then looking at Diamond, starting with 4 days after treatment, we don't see a relationship here, but overall we have pretty good control considering the recent rainfall event, anywhere between 50 and 60% control. And then looking at Diamond 8 days after treatment, so definitely a highly variable response here, but looking at our percent control, we do see that it improves again at these higher time intervals. And then getting into my chemical analyses data, starting with Centric. So we see that obviously as time goes on, our concentration does improve, but even at our higher time intervals, we're still significantly lower than our no-rain treatment. And we did run a regression analysis on this data, and the regression for thymethoxam did show that for each minute elapsed between insecticide application and rainfall event, our concentration improved by 1.98 parts per billion. And now looking at sulfoxaflor. So again, our concentration does improve over time, still significantly lower than our zero treatment. But our regression analysis did show that for each minute elapsed between that application and rainfall event, our concentration increased by 9.49 parts per billion. So just to sum it up, we have a lot more to do. We have more chemical analyses to run. I didn't include our chemical analyses for diamond because it is still being done. We weren't able to finish it before this conference. We're also going to attempt our lab assays again, hopefully more successfully this time, and then be able to have more trials to where we can do more than just one drop per plot, hopefully to take out a lot of variability within the data. So I'd like to thank my advisors, Jeff, Angus, and Don, and Whitney, and everybody for helping me, Mississippi State University and Cotton Incorporated for this opportunity and the funding. I'd also like to thank the student workers at Stonewall and my fellow graduate students because it was a lot of hard work, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. I'll take any questions. So it's kind of hard to say, but I'm thinking that maybe at this point the tarnished plant bugs maybe weren't exposed long enough, or I mean it could be a number of things. I'm sorry, but the question was why do I think that this had little to do with rainfall, the flat line? The question was, could it have been absorbed that fast? Well, that's some of the questions we're hoping to answer with these chemical analyses. And again, I don't have the data for diamond yet. But yeah, it's definitely possible. Yes, sir.
Under percent controls, are you putting out nymphs from adults, or are you lumping them all together?
We're just mainly looking at nymphs. Yes, sir. The question was, is there any difference between the difference of the sprinkler and how did we measure it? So we had to run each sprinkler for approximately 10 minutes to simulate an inch of rainfall. There wasn't anything done as far as how far away we were from the tank, because we were never, you know, just a huge distance away or anything like that. So the idea is that hopefully it's pretty consistent, but that is something that I can evaluate this coming summer. The question was, are there differences in the formulations across these insecticides? Yes, sir. So the idea behind testing as many insecticides as I am is to try to represent a bunch of different classes so that we can see, you know, if there are differences in rain fastness, like, you know, is maybe one class more rain fast than another. So we are trying to represent a lot of different groups here. Right. So the question was, how did I determine my timing for how long the sprinkler should run? So before we got into the field, we set the sprinkler up outside of our lab, and we set it on a setting that we would have it in the field. We put a rain gauge underneath it, and we timed to see how long it would take to get to an inch of rainfall, and it got to an inch of rainfall at 1 minute.
We have time for one more question.
Do you plan on looking at longer rain fastness, you know, like maybe 4 or 6 hours to improve?
The question was, do I plan to look at any I guess, longer time intervals, such as 4 or 6 hours? Actually, yes. We're actually extending the intervals to 4 and I think even 8 hours for acephate. I didn't show that data today just because it was attempted and that trial didn't actually go very well, so we're going to have to reattempt it this next summer.
Let's thank our speaker.